We're looking for help in all the wrong places. And a lot of times, once we get that help from people, we place all of our hopes, all of our dreams, and all of our trust in that person. You can't trust a man. A man's a sinner just like you are. You know, I was a drunk, and after I was relieved of my drunkenness, went to a couple of AA meetings, and they said, you got to go get you a sponsor. You got to go get you a sponsor. And, you know, I've always told them that Jesus is my sponsor, for the simple fact the only two times I've been tempted, wasn't nobody there with me but Jesus, right? And then on top of that, your sponsor is a drunk just like you are, so you catch him at the wrong time, boy, you're in a mess. So I've always tried to lean on God, lean on God only. You know, there's been times where things seem pretty desperate, you know, and you naturally look with your eyes and you reach out that hand, physical hand, instead of going deeper, instead of trying to get to the Lord. Now, according to the Bible, it said we're supposed to trust in God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And in Psalms 23:4, everything I read will be out of the New King James Version, okay? And I don't do the slides, so I expect everybody to have a Bible. So for now, when Pastor announced in advance when I'll be preaching, y'all just make sure y'all bring your Bible that Sunday. In Psalms 23:4, it says, yea, I walk through the valley in the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the title of this today is, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Father God, we come here today, Lord, just to worship you, Lord, and to give you your praise and your honor. Father God, I pray that you will use me today as a vessel, Father God, to get your word out, Lord. And Father, I say if any praise or any glory is due here today, Father God, let it all go to you, Lord. Let me decrease so you may increase, and let your word come forth. Now, in the scripture that we just read, simply says that we'll have the times in our lives where it feels like we're at the end. We'll have our times in our lives where it feels like we can't go forward, where it's over with, where we're done, where we're at that breaking point or that rock bottom. Now, it also says that we shouldn't be afraid at that point because we know that he is with us. Also says that the rod and the staff will comfort us. Now, I'm not a genius. Never tried to act like I was a genius. So I had to pull out my concise Bible, my concise dictionary, and look up staff, and it said rod. So I said, okay, I looked up rod. And there's a couple of different definitions in there for rod that I like. One said a walker's or a shepherd's stick. And the other said a symbol of authority. Had a couple other definitions, but those are the two that we're going to go on today. Now, we've all seen a walking stick. You lean on it, right? That walking stick is intended to help you keep your balance. It's intended to help support you. It's not meant to carry all of your weight. It's not meant to carry all of your burdens. It's not meant for you to just lean on it and coast. It's meant for you to have enough balance and enough stability that if you need to limp, you can limp. But it's going to make you confident enough to where you'll take that step forward. You won't just sit there, and you won't be dragging that broken foot along. All right? Now, crutches, on the other hand, crutches are meant to support your whole weight. I don't know if you've ever been on crutches before. I know I have. And you sit there. Your armpits hurt because everything is on it. Right? And the whole time you're holding up that wounded foot, that wounded leg, that brokenness. And you're still able to go along. You're still able to drag yourself along with that brokenness. You never feel the pressure, and you never have to face the reality of your circumstance. Now, some people use other people as a crutch. Some people use the church as a crutch. Some people use drugs and alcohol as a crutch. The main thing I want to talk about today is people using others as a crutch. you know, you find yourself in a situation, or you find people in a situation to where, be it a financial thing, or they had a death in the family or a setback, and they want to blame that on the reason that they're in the situation that they're in. And heaven forbids if there's a person around that has the means to get them out of that, that don't do it. Because they'll sit there and they'll come with that "what about me" spirit. And that "what about me" spirit, that's that, well, I'm here and I'm stuck, you know, my rent's due and I don't quite have the money, but you do. So how about you take care of it for me? Or I know that I'm a mess. You know, I know that I gamble too much and I drink too much and I do all these different things, but you have the means to get me through this. I need you to fix my world. I want to use you as my crutch so that I can still go forward and do the things I want to do and let you bear the weight. We can't live like that. You know, I've met so many people, be it from the abuse that they suffered as a child. You know, I can never have a positive relationship because my father cheated on my mother. You know, I can never truly trust anyone because my mama neglected me. They come up with all these different excuses for why they're in the situation that they're in. You know, I can't get a good job because when I was a kid, I had to go out and sell drugs because my mama didn't have no job. My daddy ran away, you know, and the neighbor's dog got ran over. Anything and everything that they could use so they don't have to face their reality. So they don't have to live up to what the hell is what they're supposed to be doing. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was talking with my cousin, and we were talking about the government, because people use the government too. One of the things the guy told me a long time ago is that a black man should never be a Democrat. Yeah, I'm jumping really quick, but I'm just gonna say this. So you can't trust the government. So the black man should never be a Democrat for the simple fact that Democrats came up with the welfare system. And what the welfare system said was, black woman, if you go out and have a kid and your black man leaves, we'll take care of you and your kids. Right? And some people use that. You've heard Pastor Jeff talk about that before, to where he was renting property and he would have generations of families in the house and everybody using the system. Me and my cousin was talking one time, my little cousin, and he was talking about how we need to get rid of the welfare system and get rid of food stamps and so forth, because people use it as a crutch. I say, well, nah, that won't work. For the simple fact that you have people out there who don't want to use it as a crutch, who just want to use it as that rod, as that staff. They're using it just to balance them out, just to get by, just to get through for that season, for that time, for that moment in time. And if you take that away, then you're taking away their staff. Yep, some people use it wrong. Some people need to be pulled off of it. You know, and there's different ways to get around it. But that's just an example of the crutch and the staff. I mean, when I first got saved and I started getting back on my feet, I had to use the system for a little while. But it was only for a season, just to get through. Not something I wanted to live off of. I remember as a child, my mother died when I was 5. My grandmother took in 5 kids. She had just retired. We had to use the system for a season. So it has a purpose. It's just a matter of how people want to use it. People will use other people the same way. Or they'll even use the church that way. They'll come to the church and every need that they have, instead of putting it before the Lord, they put it before the pastor. My car payment's due. Pastor, I don't know how I'm making the church without no car. You think you can help me out a little bit? Pastor, my rent's due. I don't know where I'm going to live next month. Think you can help me? I need food. We have to learn that we have to take everything that we need to God. Everything we need to God. People go out and they'll gamble. There's a friend of mine I was talking to. She was telling me that she's having problems with her neighbor. I mean, not her neighbor, her roommate. She says that there are times where she'll come in the house and she just hates her roommate for the simple fact that her roommate is financially secure. Her roommate, on the other hand, still expects her to pay her rent, although that she has been had her hours cut. So my friend is saying there's times where I'll lose $40 in a casino and I'll come home and I'll just be so mad at her. Like, well, why are you mad at her? You the one who had the $40 win. Gamble. She said, well, because she could afford the rent. She could afford to take care of this. I wouldn't have this burden on me if she would just pick it up and take it up. Well, how about you just stop gambling? How about you push that crutch to the side, right? If you need a little help, ask her for a little help, but still do your part. Still feel the pressure. Use the rod. Just use the rod a little bit. People keep doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results, and it doesn't work. Einstein said that's the definition of insanity. You'll deal with an addict that'll go out and they'll stop using, and they'll get things going in the right direction, and they'll go back to using, and things fall apart, and they sit there and be like, what happened? Well, what did you think was going to happen? You'll have that gambler that'll go out and constantly gamble everything they have away, but then they're still writing checks trying to pay bills, and they're wondering why the checks are bouncing. Why is there a warrant for my arrest? Because I'm bouncing bad checks. Well, because you keep doing the same thing over and over again. You got to quit trying to use the system or people as a crutch. Now, another definition of the rod is a symbol of authority. When most of us think of authority in our lives, we think of our bosses, we think of the police, we think of the government. And in many cases, you know, you'll have your husband or your wife would be that symbol of authority. But Jesus tells us that I am your good shepherd. And if you're my good shepherd, that means that you have authority over me. I'm to follow you. He says, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd will give his life for the sheep. Now, if we're looking at the Lord as our center of authority, we should be able to rely on him. We should be able to trust in him. Now, in Luke 8, it tells of Jesus and his disciples crossing the lake, and the storm rises up. We've all heard the story, to where Jesus is in the bottom of the boat and he's sleeping, and all the disciples are nervous and they're all scared. Peter goes down and wakes up Jesus. Jesus comes out, says, peace, be still. Now in 8:25, it says, he said, where is your faith? And they were afraid and marveled to one another. And they said, who could this be? For he commands the winds, the wind, the water, and they obey him. Now, that's a marvelous sign of authority if you ever seen one. In John 11, it tells of Lazarus, of Jesus raising up Lazarus. Lazarus had died when Jesus was out of town. They're calling for Jesus. Jesus takes 3 days to come. When he gets there, in John 11:43, it says, now after he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, if that's not authority, I don't know what it is. Now, like I said before, most people look at their bosses and the police and the government and so forth as authority. Now, I know my boss has the power to fire me, but my boss can't calm any storm that's in my life. I know that the police, they can lock me up if they want to, but when I was in bondage, they couldn't free me. Now, my ex-wife, she could cook up a nice meal and fill my stomach up to nourish my body, but she couldn't fill the emptiness that was in my spirit. There's only one that has the authority to do that. That's our good shepherd. That's Jesus. You know, I was wilding out a long time ago, and I can say a long time ago now. It feels good. And I'm always so grateful that I had a foundation in Christ. For the simple fact, if I didn't, I know I'd have been lost. Even when I was out there doing some of the dumbest things in the world, some of the most embarrassing things in the world, I always knew that I had that connection. I always knew I had that get back. I can remember a song from when I was a kid. He goes, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. And if nothing else, I knew that if I cried out to him, he'd hear me. And I knew that he'd help me. And I knew he'd save me. But it was a matter of crying out to him. I remember that I could always go to God in prayer no matter what the situation is. Even when I was doing wrong sometimes, y'all, I would pray before I went in there and did it. We ain't gonna go no further in that one, though. But I knew that I can go to God in prayer. See, in Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, we find ourselves in the midst of that storm. That's what we need to do. Instead of us looking around to people, or instead of us looking around to the church, or instead of us looking around to the government with this what about me spirit, we need to be looking to God. We need to be aggressed, we need to be assured through our faith that we are understanding exactly what God is saying about us. God says all things work for the good, work together for the good of those that love him. Says that we are more than conquerors. Said we are above and not beneath. Says that we are chosen for this generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim his praises of him, that you may proclaim the praises of him when he called you out of the darkness and into this marvelous light. If God loves us that well, if he's going to be our shepherd, if he's going to proclaim that we are his, we should never have to live in fear. We should never have to live in doubt. We should never have to live without. We should never have to look to another person to get us over. We should never have to need a crutch. We should always be able to rely on that rod. I was reading about the man, the crippled man that would sit at the gate called Beautiful. And he would sit there for years. He sat there for years. And every day he would sit there and he would beg for alms. That was his crutch. I'm crippled. Can't do anything. I need you. You know, matter of fact, I believe they said they carried him there every day and sat him down. And the part that made me feel good was, as Peter and John were walking by, he looks at him and he calls out to him. Peter says to him, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have, I will give unto you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise. And he takes the man by his hand, and immediately his feet, his ankles are strengthened. Immediately, this man can stand. Immediately, this man could walk. Immediately, this man could leap, so the Bible says. Immediately, this man no longer needed a crutch. Immediately, this man could walk inside the temple where he couldn't go before because he was crippled. Immediately, he was saved. He was relieved of the crutches. Now, he didn't need to grab the rod because he had the spirit, so he could just march, right? Some of us, we still need that rod once we're delivered. We still need that rod so we can get our footing until we're fully restored, until we're fully strengthened. I remember when I was out there, when I first met Ron and Pat, Ron used to talk to me all the time. He wanted to help. And I couldn't understand what he wanted to help me for. I'm just some drunk out here. And Ron used to always say, I just want to show you the love of Christ. And so one day he asked me, Dale, what do you want? And I said, I just want my life. I just want my life back. And he said, I can't give it to you, but Jesus can. Right? And Ron and Pat, they would talk to me and they would try to work with me and they would try to convince me to get my stuff together. But I had my crutch. I had my crutch of alcohol. I had my crutch of anger. I had my crutch of frustration. I didn't need to get myself together. I'm fine where I'm at. Because I know as long as I can walk in that store and get what I need, I'll be all right. long story short, I found myself when I came to the point and I said, okay, I need help. I'm gonna get this together. And so some of y'all don't know this part. I'm gonna tell you this little story. They were gonna take me to a sober living house because I was homeless and drunk. I wasn't just a drunk, I was a homeless drunk. But by the time I decided I was gonna go to a sober living house, I found myself in jail, because that's what homeless drunk people with anger problems do. So I'm sitting in jail and I tell them, yes, I'll go to the sober living house. And they said, okay, well, when you get out on a Sunday, we will come and pick you up. We'll take you to the sober living house. Well, my dumb luck turned out to be the greatest blessing in my life. And what my dumb luck was, I was supposed to get out on Sunday, but I was supposed to be in court that Friday before. And although they had me in jail in Henderson and the court was upstairs, they forgot I was there. So I didn't get to go to court, right? So Sunday passes and now they're letting me out on Monday. Well, I don't know how to get in touch with Ron and Pat. I don't know where the church is at. Well, I have an idea, but I don't know how to get here. Don't know how to get in touch with the pastors. So it's up to me to do what I swore I was never going to do again. That was not drink. I sat in jail for 52 days, no alcohol in my system. You would think it would be an easy thing to do to come out and not drink. Soon as I got out, I ran into my buddy Tom that was here last week, and he said, here, has a few dollars, go get you a beer. And I said, no, I'm not using that crutch no more. I didn't say that, I just said, no, I'm not drinking. But you got what I'm saying. I'm not drinking no more. Not gonna do it. And I did a good job of staying away from everybody I knew. And I kept myself sober. Wait a minute. You hear the drum roll? Kept myself sober for 7 hours. And the wonderful thing about that 7 hours is that it completely broke me. I was utterly, completely, you can shatter me into a million pieces, broken. Because I could do anything and everything. That's just the way I was. And for me not to be able to do that one thing destroyed me. Completely destroyed me. And I said it was a blessing for the simple fact that had I gotten out on Sunday and went to the sober living house, I'd have been sober for about 2 weeks because I'd have been doing that myself. But then I'd have been right back out there like a bunch of other people that we know. With me being completely broken like that, I finally was able to get in touch with Ron and Pat the next day, and they took me to a sober living house, and more miracles happened. First and foremost, they let a drunk guy in a sober living house, which doesn't happen. Second guy, they let the drunk guy in a sober living house and gave him his own room instead of putting him in a dorm with other people so he can be watched. But the beautiful thing about me being in that room by myself is I got to be with me and my God. Now, they say that the Holy Spirit was given to us as a helper from Jesus, and he is supposed to bring remembrance, bring back to remembrance things that Jesus has taught us. And I remembered a long time ago, I was reading in the Bible, and I was reading about people laying prostrate. And I was curious about it, so years ago, I looked that word up too, because I told you I'm not a genius, but I know how to get the information. And so the definition of prostrate is to lay face down as an act of surrender or submission. It's to lay face down like you're giving up from exhaustion. And so here I am in this room and I'm praying and my spirit says, you've got to surrender. I don't surrender. I don't know how to surrender. So you got to surrender. And it brought back to remembrance, prostrate. So I remember I lay not in church, not at the altar, but at the feet of my Lord on the floor, and gave myself to God. I also remembered that I couldn't stay there. I had to get up. Now, I couldn't walk like the crippled man could. I needed help. I needed to lean on that staff for a while. I needed to limp alone for a while. Things weren't perfect for me yet. I still had to face my trials. I still had to feel the pressure of the mistakes that I had made. I still had to face the consequences of the choices that I made. I still had to get by. I still had to live. But I knew that I couldn't stay where I was. And I knew I couldn't go back to the crutches. Like I said, things weren't perfect all the time. But that rod, that staff, was strong enough for me to get my footing planted firmly on the word. And I knew if I stood on the word, and I knew if I trusted in my Lord, I knew if I leaned on the staff long enough, I would get strengthened. I would be able to stand. I'd be able to walk. I'd be able to leap. I'd be able to run. I'd be able to talk to somebody. For a season, only for a season, shall we need that staff. Only for a season shall we need that rod. But forever, we have to follow the Good Shepherd. See, I was able to learn to follow the Good Shepherd on that day. And I learned how to get comfortable leaning on that rod. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in the green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me on the paths of righteousness for the name of his sake. And yea, I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for I know that he is with me, and thy staff and thy rod will comfort me at all times. We have to remember those words. We can never, ever depend on someone, something else. All we have to do is go to God in prayer. We all bow our heads. Father God, I just say thank you, Lord, for the word, Father God. Lord, I hope that this word takes seed, takes root in someone's heart, Father God. I hope that this word can be a direction for someone, Lord God, can be a release for someone, Father God. Lord, I pray that your blessings will fall down on all of us in this place today, Father God, because we just love your presence at all times, Lord. We know that you are with us, Father God, and we know that we can depend on you at all for all things. Say, you are my supply. You are my protection. You are my shelter. Father God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we just say thank you today, and amen.